Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Just a few minutes. Won't try not to be real long tonight. Galatians chapter 1. What's important that we learned last week, we covered last week, is the importance of grace. And we actually talked a little bit about that Sunday. Is grace, when you start understanding grace, you realize that there's a lot involved in that. There's a lot. It entails a lot. Where you think about grace, it not only is God revealing His purpose, but it's through a particular person, which we'll find out. Is Paul. It's at a particular time, which today we call it the dispensation of grace. And it's for a particular purpose. And that in itself, if we learn that, you would be way ahead of, not like it's a contest, but if you just learn that, it would eliminate a lot of confusion. Right. Is to know, like Pastor Jordan has a little booklet, to know where you fit in God's program. And we talk about the grace of God, but most people don't really know what that means. When he says, when Paul, we looked at last week, when Paul talks about grace and peace to you, we just look at it as just him saying, "How you doing, Roy?" But there's a lot behind that. It is what happened where he can say grace and peace to you as a Gentile instead of wrath and judgment to you as a Gentile, because that's what you deserved. In Ephesians 2, he says that. He says, we were the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, he saved us. Well, that wasn't on the agenda. But grace did something, made allowance for something. And you are in here. Anybody in here Jewish?
No.
And see, you have to ask your question, how did I get in here without a Jew? Grace. And again, there's a lot of background involved in that. And when Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, he says, verse 3, where we pick it up, he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Where and Paul has to introduce himself this way because he is the grace messenger, the gospel of grace, the gospel of grace. And he's writing to the Galatians to explain to them what we're talking about. And he's trying to explain to them where they are now, because they had drifted away from that. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Possibility that he might deliver us is the fact that he will do it. He has done it, actually. And we talked about it Sunday. Did you know right now, when you trusted Christ, that you are already seated in heavenly places? Right now. Mm-hmm. But if you got entangled in another gospel, you would say this: I hope I'm going to heaven. I hope I've done enough to make it in. I hope I've done enough to make it in. And Paul said this, the moment you trust him, you've already what? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed, who hath blessed us with all heavenly blessings. That same thing. Heavenly blessings. Heavenly. Not down here. In all spiritual blessings in Christ. So you say, well, we can name the material blessings we want. I've got a whole list of those. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me the spiritual blessings that you already have.
Starting with peace.
Right. That's, I'm not saying, I'm just, it was, that was hypothetical. But it's something to think about where Paul, he goes through, if you go through Ephesians, that's, we're not in Ephesians, but he says all these things. He said, in whom we have this, in whom we have this, in Christ, in whom, in him. You go through and you see all these things that you have in him. In Colossians 2, right? So, but it that'll keep you from returning to, as Galatians, to the weak and beggarly things, where you find out what he's already done. And he says this, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, that he might pluck us out of this present evil world. Present is what? Right now. Not 20 years ago. If you had read it 20 years ago, it still would have been this present evil world. Or not 20 years to come. If you read it 20 years in the future, it'll still be this present evil world. The whole system is corrupt. And Paul said, this is part of grace. Is that I gave myself not for you to be here to try to redeem the system. Not for you to be here to try to win the world, because the world's on a crash course. The world is, he said, this present evil world. What's the outcome for this world? Do you know?
Take him out to pitch, so to speak.
And even Peter said this. He said, this world will be burnt with fervent heat.
Right.
He's going to burn this system up. Why do we down here, when you don't know about where you are or who you are, we try to make it a better place to live, don't we? We're going to start with Memphis. We're going to make Memphis a better place to live. We're going to win Memphis for the Lord. And the Lord said, no. He says, I want the Memphians, but I don't want Memphis. And we talked about Lot a little bit, but here's the thing about Lot. When it's a good example of this present evil world, Lot was a believer. You know, Lot was a believer, right?
Right.
And when he got the choice from Abraham, he says, you pick, Abraham said, you pick a direction. And whatever you pick, I'll go the opposite way. So it won't be any strife. Lot, being a selfish believer like we mostly are, we think about ourselves. The scripture said that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom because the grass was green, flowery. He saw that. He's in waters. He looked there and he says, that's what I want.
People.
The what?
People were there.
But he didn't look at the people. He looked at the benefits. Abraham was going to a land God was going to give him. Lot was going to a land that he wanted. And when he pitched his tent towards Sodom, the next thing you know, he was doing what?
Sitting
in the gate. That doesn't mean sitting in the gate like sitting at the gate. He was in a position of authority in the city. That's what sitting in the gate means. He was on the city council. Lot had got entangled in Sodom. Sodom was what? The Lord said this, but the men of Sodom were exceeding wicked. That's what these, when we're down here, this world is evil. And he tells us we're not to be entangled in the affairs of this life. And I remember reading something that says we should live like there's no tomorrow, but just in case, have a plan. Now, I agree with that. You do want to be responsible. You have to be. You have to take care of your family. You have to be responsible. But you don't. We don't have the mindset that we'll be here forever. Where so much so where we forget to set our affection on things above. Because God has already told us. He says our citizenship is where? Our citizenship. So you're really just visiting. You're visiting. You're a tourist. You're a tourist. You're a visitor from outer space. You're just waiting for the pickup.
Pilgrim.
Can you imagine that? You think you say, well, by the time you get to heaven, he says, well, where are you from? Well, I spent about 50 years in Memphis. You know, or like scripture said, Abraham, he sojourned. He's passing through. And he would say, well, what about you? Oh, I spent about 40 years in certain areas, but you're at home now. Isn't that something? When you think about it, that's your citizenship, is to know that this is just a stop. This is just temporary down here. And that's why the Lord gave himself, is to deliver us from this present evil world. Didn't he?
Yeah.
And we do get kind of caught up in the world, don't we? Like we're going to be here forever.
There's your question.
Okay.
You asked that question one night, maybe a week or two ago. And you said, do you know who we are? And I said, I didn't really know until you said that. And I said, replacements.
Right. You sure did.
Is that for the angels that follow Satan?
That's for, right. There are positions that will be open. They are open now. They just waiting
right.
for, right. Now, see, that's, if you go to the average believer, the average believer, that goes with, that's with the grace. When I talk about grace, you guys want to hear, the grace, when we think about grace, we always think about what's free. But we never think about the service part.
Right.
This plan, this gospel is so important because it takes everything that God wants to do, that all his plans, and that he's held back for ages and generations, and then he gets to a certain point where Paul calls it the fullness of times. He gets right here and he said, now, let me tell you what's really on my mind and what I have in store for you. And then he begins to unload it to Paul, and then Paul begins to give it to us to tell us who we are, who we really are,
right.
and what God really wants to do and what grace really is. It's not just that he gave himself for us, but why? Why did he do it, and what did he do it for? He just didn't say, well, I don't want them to go to the lake of fire. That's just the tip of the iceberg. He says, I have plans. In Ephesians, he says that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, where not only that, where he was shown by us. He would show to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places the manifold Say it.
I don't know if it's right.
You said it.
Wisdom.
Wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. To show the plan that he had. Has. The plan he has. And just to start to reveal it. And Paul says this. He says that he gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world. And we're not in that chapter, but he says this. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Why? He said this. To reveal his son in me. To reveal his son in me. When he said to reveal his son in him, to reveal the plan. What he really purposed in Christ, he said, God saved me, and he says, I want to tell you so you can tell everybody else.
Reveal his son not in the flesh.
Not in the flesh, right. That's what he says. Immediately, he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. So when he's writing to the Galatians, he has to remind them, he was trying to show them how rich they are with this grace gospel. And what they did was, it's like this. This is a long time ago. My grandfather had coins. He collected coins. And they were valuable. You know, some coins you have, they're worth more than, maybe it was 50 cents, but it was worth more because of the age. And he put them in this box. And he had a lot of them. So I didn't know the value of those coins. And my neighbor, we both collected comics. And we would trade, buy and sell comics from each other. And so he had particular comics. I said, man, I want that. I really got to have that comic book. So I didn't have any money, and I went and I took my grandfather's coins, and I said, well, he won't miss these. So I took them and I go over there and I buy. They were 25 cents comic books then, you know. It looks like a quarter, but here you go. Take that. Give me that. And I take the books back. What did I just do?
Made him happy.
He didn't know either. but what I did was took maybe $250 and traded it in for something that's 25 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's saying to the Galatians, he says, you're giving away a treasure to go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world, to the law.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're giving away a standing in Christ that nobody ever had as sons. One thing we said Sunday was this, where when the Lord was on earth, he said, these are my servants. And then he picked those 12 out and he says, now I'm not going to call you servants anymore. I'm going to call you friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because a servant, say it, a servant knoweth not what his master doeth. A servant knoweth not what his master doeth. He said, he said, we're not even friends. We're sons.
Yeah.
We don't just know what he's doing. We are doing it with him.
Co-laborers.
If Ed's son came here, and he says, hey, Dad, I want to be a part of the business. Do you think he would say, well, this is too much for you. I can't tell you about this business. What do you think he would do? He would tell him everything. This is what we need to do. This is what we're doing. This is how we are successful. This is how you handle the business. And he would tell him things he wouldn't tell the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you? Why? Why?
Good. I want him to know.
Yeah.
Because he wanted him to know.
Yeah,
something.
He wants to know.
Because, and his son would do it because not just love, but he wants the plan to go forward too. So God says this.
He wants to please his father.
He wants to please his father. Grace out of gratitude. Grace begets service. But when I say this, but it's the plan is so rich. When he talks about grace, that's what he's talking about is God's doing something much bigger than what we look at. And we get caught up in us. Well, look what God has done for me. Mm-hmm. And it's not that. It's look what God wants to do through you. That's grace. He said, I've given you this gospel. Do you know how rich it is? Do you know the treasure that you have with this grace gospel? Like the Colossians, he said this. He says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he's given it to you. To us. And he says, now you go out and you make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, of this secret. He said, Roy, I want you to know who you are. Like you said, 30 years you've been in church and you don't know who you are.
Right.
20 years you've been in church and you don't know who you are. Going in and out, opening the book up. That's why Paul goes to the Ephesians. He says, listen, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that means that he gave you something, dispensed. That's what it means to give you something. He's dispensed something to you by his goodness. He says, if you've heard of this, the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. And then he begins to say, and we want to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, to be a part of it.
Right.
He want, you know what? If you see somebody free, if you're free, don't you want somebody to experience the same freedom that you have?
Yes.
If your eyes have been opened, don't you want them to see what you see? We were talking to a guy, and I better not say that because this might get back. But most people think they know the Lord. Religion is not knowledge. Paul told you that. He told you in Galatians, he says, I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Right.
He said, but the things that I counted gain, the knowledge I gained in the religion, he says, I counted loss for Christ. He says, in everything I count loss for the excellency of the knowledge of him. So here you go. This is where we fall out at. We don't like to leave those churches. They know us. We know them. Mm-hmm. We like it there.
Yeah.
We kind of got a name, a position. Even a pew, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you bought a brick.
Yeah.
A window. Maybe you have a salary. Maybe it's family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I've been there 20 years. I couldn't possibly leave.
Yeah.
Paul said this. He said, in Philippians, he says, I counted all things loss for the excellency of him, the knowledge of him. Do you know how much it cost him to go back? He says, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. They knew him. When he testified, he says, you know about my conversation, you know me. You know what I did. Didn't he say when he was before Festus and Agrippa?
Oh, yeah.
He says, just ask. Ask somebody. They know. I had a lot invested in the Jews' religion. But he said this. when God put him on Damascus Road, he said, I got something to show you. And it's better than what you're doing now. For a man to be free, he has to see that this other gospel is bondage. You got to see that. You got to see that I'm a slave to the religious self. He says he gave, number one, he gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world. So right there, you can't say that you're spending your efforts to save the world, because you're not going to save the world. Mm-hmm. You're not going to save the world. What you save is you try. You don't save anybody. But what we do is try to. We just want to enlighten people to what God is doing. Jehovah Witness, how many people you think in Jehovah Witness would stop doing this if they knew they weren't coming back to this earth? If they got to see that he has saved us to deliver us from this present evil world, how many other witnesses would you think would be out there Saturday saying, you know, we're coming back here. Don't you wish the world was a better place to live in? No. I don't. Let me show you why. Then you take him here and you show it to him. It's like, he has delivered me from this present evil world. Colossians said this: he's translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. All we're waiting for is the pickup. Not to come back here, to go there. Paul said to be absent from the body. He said, it's far better for me. He didn't say to come down here. He said, it's needful for me to be here, but it's far better for me to be with him. But we say the opposite. Oh, we're going to stay here. And I know some Jehovah's Witness state, they would say, this was inside. In Detroit, there was a guy who came from the Witness. And he said they would be walking through the neighborhood, knocking on the doors. And they would say, you know, I'm going to want a house like that when I get back. Or I'm going to have a yard like that when I get back. Can you imagine? And these are people who are laboring for the Lord.
You know what I wonder is, truthfully, if they believe only 144,000
going to heaven,
you know,
that's
more than that in Memphis, right?
Right. More than, yeah, it's more than 144,000 in Memphis. It might be more than that in just the Memphis denomination of Jehovah's Witness.
So, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how do I fit in? You know,
they came off on the rules sometime in the last 50 years or somewhere. They opened it up a little more. It's not as glorified people, but there's a sub-level of people that are going to be allowed in past the home.
Right. I don't know how they twist it up, but
it's weird because, you know, right in the same passage it says then there was a number that no man could name or count.
But that's only the 144,000 is going to heaven. Those are the ones who labor the most.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they do what they do. That's why they work for that position. But Paul said this. He says, that's not my gospel. That's why it's important to have the right gospel. Mm-hmm. And part of it is, like I said, he's delivered us from this present evil world. And he said this in verse 6. He says, I marvel to the Galatians that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, he says, I marvel. That, he says, I'm shocked. I'm astonished, right? I'm astonished. You're like, wow. You know, he went on to, that was one of the first places he stopped on his, when he began his ministry there, and he established those churches, and he gets, when he gets back, I imagine he gets back and he had word that, you know, they went back to the law. He probably just got off the boat, and he says, we got a letter for you, Paul. And he opens up, reads it, said, the Galatians returned back to the law. He's like, wow. Uh-huh. Are you serious? It's like, I just left there. We just rejoiced together in grace. We just talked about how, like he said, he says, Jesus Christ was evidently set forth among you. He said, you saw it. You rejoiced in it. What happened? He says, that not that you were removed. He said, so soon removed. You know, sometimes it might take a while for, but he said, this happened so fast.
You mean they weren't rooted?
They weren't rooted at all. So, when Paul said this, that's why he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace, into the what? Into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel.
I got a question.
Okay.
So if they went back to the law, are we saying that the law wasn't a gospel at any time?
That's good. That's a good question. He said this. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. When he says another gospel, that means that you went to a different gospel.
Okay.
Okay. But what does he say? He goes to tell you, he answers your question in the next verse. He says, which is what? Which is not another gospel. What's the answer, James?
Well, no, I think I'm thinking too much.
No, just well, let the verses do the thinking for us. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel of the grace of Christ mm-hmm. unto another gospel, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just say, I marvel that you are removed from the gospel.
Okay.
I marvel that you're removed from the gospel of Christ to another gospel, mm-hmm. which is what?
Not another.
Which is not another.
Because it's also of Christ.
Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. They're saying, the Galatians were saying this, or the Judaizers were saying, this is equal to that.
Okay.
Were they like trying to tell the gospel but mix a little bit?
That's, look, he says, hey, that's great that you trust Christ. Hey, we believe that. But if you want to finish this thing off, you got to be circumcised mm-hmm. and keep the law. Otherwise, you can't be saved. That's what they said. He says to another gospel, which is not another. He says, this is not six in one hand, half dozen in the other. He says, that's a perversion. Pervert means a twist. To rest. To alter,
okay.
To corrupt.
But Frank, it was the gospel of Christ in the flesh under the law, right?
Okay,
I mean,
that's what I was asking.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I thought.
So. Because he did. Who said that? You're talking about people that rested in circumcision for thousands of years. This wasn't like 6 months. This was from Abraham. This was like 4,000 years of teaching.
Right.
And then here comes Paul, and he says, listen, I'm saying to you, men and brethren, that circumcision profits nothing. Yes. You don't think that raised some eyebrows? So we come along today and said, look, you trust Christ. Trust Christ and Him alone. Circumcision profits nothing. Water, tongues, nothing. You could be saved just by trusting what He did. That's the grace. The grace of Christ is what He's done on your behalf. And it starts with salvation. It starts with imputed righteousness. But it's much more than that. That's what He talks about, all this you have in Christ. But if you can't handle the meat, He said the milk is this, Christ and Him crucified. He said, you stick with that. Then that's what He told the Corinthians. He says, I determine not to know anything among you save the grace of Christ. Is Christ and Him crucified. That'll get you saved. That'll get you saved right there. He says, you get saved. But the Galatians, he said this, I marvel that you're so soon removed to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ.
So they were preaching another Jesus. They were preaching Christ
in the flesh. And the thing is, they were preaching performance again.
Okay, right.
Performance again. That's what the law is, performance. He says, that's what they went to get. That's what they went to Jerusalem to settle the matter.
If there were people or Judaizers that followed Paul everywhere, were they?
Everywhere he went. Because that's no different than the religious people that we run into today. Is all you have to do is get your friends, your sister-in-law,
yeah,
friends, brothers, cousins, church members, people you knew. No. And say, listen, let me show you. Look at this verse. And take them to some verses that say Christ did it all. You can be saved by grace through faith. Nothing. There's one baptism. Oh, you can take them to anything that strips away works.
Right.
Show them. Here, Paul said he's the apostle to the Gentiles. Did you know Paul's our apostle today? That we should be listening to what he says? Take him to those verses and then watch the opposition.
Yeah, I was going to ask this, and I thought about this just with communion. Now, that's not for us today, right?
Sure it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
As a voluntary thing.
Yeah, of course.
And reason why I ask is because communion in my head lines up just like baptism. Just as you say the scripture said to not to remember the Lord after the flesh. And specifically, He tells us to take this bread, which is my body, break and take of it. And this is my blood, mm-hmm. You know. Do this in remembrance of me. So are we, is it conflicting or am I, that interpretation should not be a literal interpretation.
No, it's not. All right, look at 1 Corinthians and I'll show you why it's not. This is, you remember now, who's writing to us?
Paul.
Who is he?
Apostle.
How did he get the information he got?
Christ.
Should be Christ.
Huh?
God.
How?
By revelation.
By what?
By revelation.
By revelation. Mm-hmm. He didn't get it from Peter. He didn't get it from Matthew or Luke or John or Christ on earth.
Mm-hmm. The risen Christ.
Okay?
Yeah.
He said, the information I'm giving to you, everything Paul wrote was by what?
Revelation.
From who?
Christ.
From where?
Heaven.
Okay. That means he got it from the glorified Lord. Why would the Lord give Paul some information related to his earthly ministry that he didn't want us to follow? Why would, if the Lord did this, if the Lord was resurrected and he said, I'm going to give Paul a revelation, why would he give him old information?
Okay.
Why would he give him obsolete commandments?
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yeah, follow.
So if he's, everything he's given him, he says, this is what I want you to teach them. Okay, why would he teach them something that he says, well, I want you to teach them that? That's why when he goes along, even baptism, he says, now, he says, wait. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Well, wait a minute. Back here, that was the gospel.
Exactly.
If God wanted him to keep baptizing, he would have said, Paul, do what?
Baptize
him. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says this, verse 11, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Now, here's just a little background. The Corinthians were abusing the Lord's Supper. They were carnal, for one. So when they were coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, they were actually doing it in a unloving manner, I would say. An ungracious. Is that a word? An ungracious manner.
Yes, it
wasn't consistent with grace.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, they weren't valuing, esteeming each other, and they weren't valuing and esteeming what God had done on their behalf, what Christ had done on their behalf. So he said, that's where he starts off. He says, now this, he says, and you said, verse 17, James, he said, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. And then he begins to explain what they were doing wrong. Okay. Now, Paul said this, verse 23. Verse 23, he says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, not the building, the people,
mm-hmm.
and shame them that have not? They were calling themselves having a fellowship meal with the Lord's accomplishments in mind, and we come in here, Roy got his basket, you got your basket, I don't have a basket, Ed's already ate, he's finished, he's drinking. The whole thing was in disarray. It was not done in order. It had nothing to do with, we're coming together to celebrate what the Lord has done. He says, I cannot praise you for that. In verse 23, he said this, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I have received. How did he receive it again?
From the Lord.
How? Not by revelation. He says, I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Okay? So, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Till he come.
Okay.
Now he's saying this. What is, when you see this, what does that mean to you? When you see the cross, what does it mean? Whenever you see that, you think what? When you see the cross, what do you think?
The death.
You think about the death, right? But what do you think when you think about the death?
Well,
This is consistent with grace. When we talk about grace, this it means much more than the Corinthians were. The cross meant much more than what the Corinthians had displayed. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what the cross meant, you couldn't possibly give reverence to it. Right? Mm-hmm. And the Corinthians didn't. So you said the death. Well, what about the death?
The death that saves us from
sin. That's just the tip, right? That's part one, yeah. Like A. That's like point A. It saves us from our sins. That's when you go through all these things where he told the Corinthians this. He says, I can't even talk to you about this because you're carnal. He says, I have to stick with this. I can't tell you what all happened here. Didn't he say that? He says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Neither yet now are ye able, because you are carnal. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, because you can't bear it. So they say, okay, the death of Christ. He said this, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the death till I come. Okay, not just that he saved us from our sins. God's eternal purpose was fulfilled right here. Everything that he was wanted to do, wanted to get done, all the wisdom, the power, the knowledge, everything culminated at the cross, at his death. Revelation said this. This is on the other side, he says, they were looking to who was worthy to open the book. Mm-hmm. And they looked, and there was no man worthy to open the book. And then the angel says, behold the Lamb. Mm-hmm. The Lamb, he's worthy to open the book. Look at this. Look at Revelation. Hold your hand in for Corinthians. Look at Revelation. Chapter, I think it's 11. Let's see. No, that's not it. Verse 5. Chapter 5. He says, chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. Where did he prevail?
Cross.
Against Calvary. Who? Prevailed against who?
Satan.
There you go. He prevailed. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent forth into all the earth. Look at verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Look at chapter, I thought it was chapter 11, where he says, let's see. It talks about what he had actually received from God the Father. Well, I can't find it. But you can see at the cross, that's just when he goes through what it's another passage in Revelations, and he talks, there's several things where he says that the Lord, he's got glory and honor and power. And he just goes on and tells everything that he received after this resurrection. Now, all that, when you say there's death, that's just a piece of it. Now, James, when the Corinthians, when they come together for the Lord's Supper, he says, that's what I want you to observe. He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do in remembrance of me.
That's what brought the blessings to us. The one thing that he did on earth that applies to us in this dispensation.
Right.
He's not preaching backwards anymore.
He says, all the stuff I did up to this point, he said, don't worry about that. But what I accomplished here, he said that now. He says, let me show you. That's why he gets Paul to reveal his son in him by the gospel. He says, my gospel tells you everything that happened here. Mm-hmm. Peter will tell you this. He says, what about the crucifixion, Peter? He'll say, oh, that's not going to happen. Be it far from thee, Lord.
Yeah.
Peter's, no. But Paul said this.
Well, they didn't still really understand.
They didn't understand it.
Even at the last time.
They didn't understand it. It had not been revealed to them.
Right.
It had not been revealed in their gospel. But Paul comes, he says, even afterwards, Peter said this, you crucified him by your wicked hands, but God raised him up to sit where? On David's throne. But Paul said this, no. He said he ascended far above where? All heavens. He said he's not sitting on David's throne. He says, I'm looking at him in a different way. My gospel says he went off the chair, that chair, and went to another chair, far above all heavens. And when he told the Corinthians about observing his death, he says, now this death has unlocked all those blessings, the New Testament blessings for you. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You got inheritance in the heavenly places. You got forgiveness of all your sins. You got this grace gospel, this gospel of the grace of God, as a treasure in your earthen vessel. All these things, he says now, he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we should be together. We should all be, reveling. We should all be reveling. That's not a good word either. We should all be
celebrating.
Manful.
We should all of when we come and we take the if we ever do it, we should all be thinking the same thing is look what his death has accomplished for us. If I had that in mind, there's no way that I would eat before you. If I was in Corinth, there's no way that I would be drunk. There's no way that I would have a basket and you wouldn't have a basket.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what we're doing here.
But that's not enough. You got to be circumcised.
So you see, when Paul says, he talks about the, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We'll stop right there.